Now, most of us, if we have some kind of good news, we don't just take it home with us and keep it there. We want to tell somebody. It's important that part of the joy is being able to share what you know. That's the problem with gossip, you know. People enjoy too much sharing what they know about the other person, which is not always good. But this is a different kind. This is good stuff. We're going to talk about good stuff today. So anyway, when we have something that we know is good and that it brings joy and it's going to bring happiness and maybe bring peace and all of these other things, we want to tell somebody what it is. And of course, they in turn are going to want to tell somebody else, and they in turn are going to want to tell somebody else. And that's pretty much what Jesus' approach was. When he came into a town to proclaim the good news, and that's what he's talking about, that the reign of God is at hand. Salvation has come for all people. And that's what he's proclaiming. There is hope for the world. There is a promise of eternal life. There is a promise of mercy and forgiveness. There is a promise that all people can grow in love for one another. So that's pretty good news. And then to show that he really did have the authority that he professed to have, when they would bring people to him who were sick, he would heal them. They bring somebody who was possessed by a demon, whatever that meant in those days, he would heal them. He would free them of whatever that burden was that they were carrying. So that's the way the good news spread. when they brought him to Peter's mother-in-law's house and found her sick, they immediately came to him and said, "Look, we saw you do this other places. She's sick." And so Jesus walked in, grabbed her by the hand, and raised her up. And then it says, the gospel says, then she began to wait on them, to serve them. It's interesting, St. Paul, in the short reading from St. Paul's letter, St. Paul was an interesting character. He was one of these people that would become so absorbed in something that he couldn't let go. You've met people like that in your lifetime. And when he found something good, he really would hang on to it. When he thought he had something good, he would hang on to that too. So that when he was pretty much a faithful rabbi, he was going after the Christians, those who professed to believe in Christ, because he thought they were wrong and they needed to be silenced. And so he became so devoted to wiping them out that's what he did. He was trying to get rid of them. And when he was on his way to search out more Christians, that's when Jesus kind of appeared to him in his resurrected body and said, "Saul, what are you doing? What are you persecuting me?" And then Saul said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Well, that kind of woke Paul up. He became Paul. And when he learned a little bit more about what Jesus had been teaching, then suddenly he had this tremendous conversion. And then the rest of his life, instead of being obsessed with catching Christians, he became obsessed with opening the Christian life to all people. And so he would go from place to place to place. It's like he couldn't sit still. He couldn't hold a job. But that was his job. That he felt that the word of God so compelled him that he couldn't stop. And so he would travel all over the known world preaching about Jesus Christ and salvation and the promise of eternal life. When the disciples found him praying by himself after he had healed many people in this town, and after he had healed Simon's mother-in-law, they found him praying. And they said, "You know, the people need you. Come on back." And he said, "No." He said, "I've got to take the message to other places." And so he went on and kept proclaiming the gospel, the good news that salvation is for all people. There is hope. We have the promise of eternal life. So, and then we look at the popes in modern days, you know, and since John the 23rd, popes haven't stayed in Rome quite so much. They used to consider themselves the prisoners of the Vatican, so that once they were elected, they didn't wander very far at all. Well, John 23rd changed that. He liked to roam. And John Paul II really liked to roam. I don't know how many hundred countries he visited, but he was all over the world. Pope Francis likes to visit. He likes to travel. And the reason is they're trying to send the message. They're reaching out like Christ did to bring that message of Jesus Christ to all the world. And so they would go to places like Pope Francis goes to places where the Christians are persecuted, where they're pretty much hated, where maybe other, maybe the Muslim world has taken over or completely dominate the area. He has gone there also to preach the message of unity, of peace, the message of Jesus Christ. So all of that comes down to us now. What does this have to do with us? Well, we are the disciples. We are the disciples of Christ in our world. So it comes to us that this message comes to us. And if such good news to us, why do we keep so quiet about it? Well, we do. Catholics seem to be very quiet about what they believe. Maybe it's because they don't feel they know enough about it, but they probably know a lot more than they think they do. But I think there's a certain fear that, well, you know, we have the reputation. You know, people think we're too nosy or too bossy or too big or, you know, whatever it might be. And so we sometimes, instead of allowing that good news to exude from us and to want other people to know about it, we sometimes tend to keep a kind of secret. And sometimes even within families that are Catholic families, people just do not talk about their faith, about what they believe, about prayer, about praying together, about doing things together for a good purpose, to help bring good news to other people, to the rest of the world. We're very reluctant too many times, I think, to just bring that out to other people. And yet Christ and St. Paul and our modern popes have all said the message has to go out. It's supposed to go out to all the world. It's meant for all people of all times, of all places. So how do we can't make that happen if we continue to just be quiet about it. If it's good news, like we say it is to us, then we should be very happy to talk to people about it. We should be very happy to talk to our families about it. Maybe we're not perfect at it. Maybe we don't know a great deal about it, but I think we know enough. Because we have the faith, we believe in Jesus Christ, believe that he saved us, we believe in his presence in the Eucharist. We believe in his power to forgive. We believe in his power to heal. We believe all of those things. So something inside us that is such good news, we would be better if we allowed it to go out. It doesn't mean that you have to go around the world like Pope St. Paul did. It doesn't mean you have to travel the world like Pope John Paul II did. All it means is that where you are, you can make a difference. You don't have to preach to the people, but your life will reflect to them what you believe. And maybe then they will come to you and ask you about why do you act this way? What is it that motivates you? What is it that makes you tick? What is it that gives you energy? What is it that allows you to love people, to be kind to people, to walk away from idle gossip, to walk away from people who are, you know, are cheating, and instead of imitating them and participating with them. They will notice that. They will notice that goodness about you. It's your opportunity to reach out and give them that good news. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he saved me. I believe in what he has promised me. I believe in a future with him for all eternity. I believe in following what he asked me to do. I believe in prayer. I believe in living a good moral life. I believe in being honest. I believe in being faithful. I believe in all of these things. This is what the good news is. I try to live what my Lord teaches me, but I can't keep it inside myself. If I consider it good news, I have to be able to let it go out, to bring the good news to other people. I think our world is looking for us to really take a lead in this. We know, we look around our world today and we make laws that are absolutely contrary to the commandments of God, like allowing abortion, that it, legalizing it, makes it legal. It's still murder. We don't know all the circumstances of people's lives, why they choose to do that. It's not for us to judge that. But when we do have laws like that, it tends to kind of make life look cheap. It makes life look like a commodity that we, well, I don't really want this, so let's just get rid of it. And we do that with too much stuff, with our moral values. Look at our world today. Look at the struggle married people have in our world today. How many of them are not successful, and we wonder why. And sometimes, even if it is based on solid Christian values, sometimes it doesn't work. Why? And a lot of times it's because there's no support for a permanent marriage between two people, between a man and a woman. There is no support for that. Say, where everything is allowed, everything is okay, when the things of real importance are not supported, it's hard to maintain that. If you're the only person on the block that goes to church on Sunday, even though maybe half of the block may be Catholic, it's hard to maintain that, because you know that they're sitting there watching you drive out of your driveway or walking down the street, whatever it may be, to go to church. And we become very self-conscious about that stuff. But if a community supports that, what a huge difference that can make. Or say, like families. When families work together and pray together and really make an effort to be united as a Christian family, you see them going to church together. But say when a member of the family chooses not to or becomes angry when they're asked to, it kind of breaks down. Maybe other members in the family say, well, what's going on? And it tends to kind of just like, becomes like a little disease that begins to work. And unless the family is strong enough to resist that, it is very easy to collapse and fall into that. So we do need the support. We not only need the good word, which Christ came to give to us, which Paul has spread, the Pope spread, and we're supposed to spread, but we also need the support of one another to be able to maintain that this is something worthwhile, something of value, something that I can bring to the world that Christ has given to me. And he said, whatever I give to you, I want you to give. Give it as a gift, just as you have received it as a gift. So when we hear about Jesus going from village to village, it wasn't that he was unstable or anything, that he couldn't hold a job. but that he felt his job was to bring the good news to all people. And then when he left, remember when he ascended into heaven, he said to the apostles and to all of us, go into the world and bring the good news to all people. We can't do that if we don't consider it good news. We can't do it if we're afraid to talk about it. Think about St. Paul. He became almost obsessed with proclaiming the good news. We won't become like that. It's not a disease. But we do have to listen to that voice of God that speaks in us and says, this is your opportunity. Say something. Do something. Listen, whatever it may be. He said, and I will be there. That's what he promised to us.